Buenos días, good morning. Welcome, bienvenidas y bienvenidos. I'm back. That's great, that's great. I came here a visitor and I leave a friend. I cannot tell you how many ways this community has supported me in the 9 days that I have been with you. You have fed my soul and my body. You have taken me on rides to go house hunting and from church to hotel, hotel to church every single day, 3 times a day. You have baked wonderful pies for me, introduced me to the local cuisine. Most of all, you have opened your hearts and your homes to me. I am so grateful. And on behalf of my mother, I also want to express my gratitude. She is with us today because she called and said, I will be with you in spirit. I wish I could be there with you. But she is here. I feel her in my heart. She already loves this congregation. She is here giving me strength and hope and joy. Today is a good day. Today is in many ways a culmination, especially for the search committee. And during this call to worship, I just want us to take a few seconds to open our hearts and extend our gratitude to the people who searched, to the people who struggled, to the people who kept up the joy and the hope of this congregation during the past year, during the past 2 years. I want them to know that they matter. I want them to know that they have done not just their best. They've done excellent. They have brought us here with grace. They have brought us here with love. And we are grateful for each and every one of you, for your spouses, for your children, because you took time away from them during this search. For all who supported this search, the members of the committee, we express our gratitude and we open our worship service with hearts filled with joy and hope for the future. Bienvenidos y bienvenidas. Again, welcome. I wanted you to be able to get a glimpse of the wonderful and transformative work that the search committee has been doing for a long time. And I wanted you to get an opportunity to hear from a couple of the members of the search committee, because this was not about a job candidate, right? It was a spiritual search. They went in it wholeheartedly, literally, right? They put everything into it. And at times, they were exhausted. And many times, they were lost and frustrated. And perhaps times they felt alone in their quest. This is an opportunity to lift them up. This is an opportunity for this congregation to once again realize that you are the ones you have been waiting for. So this morning, I've asked Heidi Green and Bob Simone to share with you a little bit, just a glimpse, of what this search meant for them as a spiritual journey. Heidi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This congregation has been a balm to my heart in so many unexpected ways. Some of you know that when I first started to come to Star King, it was because my dad wanted to find a church. I was just the ride. My dad had Asperger's syndrome, for those of you who don't know, something we didn't understand when I was growing up. I just knew that I was often ashamed of his unusual behavior. Here at church, Dad would respond to the minister out loud during services. He would comment loudly about the songs, the congregation, or the choir sang, and sometimes even break into him song himself, not when anyone else was singing. I was mortified, and I would try to keep him from interrupting everyone else, from disturbing anyone else. However, a number of you started telling me how much you appreciated Dad's authenticity and enthusiasm, and you urged me to let him be himself. You redefined my dad for me, and I was somehow able to see Dad through your eyes and realize that he was funny and warm and quirky and unconditionally lovable. And I finally could actually love him back in the same way. For the last year and a half of my dad's life, and for the first time in my life, you all gave me my dad. When I committed to being on the search committee, I knew it would be a lot of work. Now, I admit I didn't realize quite how much work. But I was willing to jump in and do my part. I wanted to be on the committee to make sure that we would have a minister who would maintain the sort of environment that would heal hearts like mine. All of us joined the search committee with the best intentions. We came in with different biases, different perceptions, and different ideas about what the church needs in a minister. We knew early on that there might be clashes when it came to picking our candidate. We even set up rules about voting and modified consensus so we could make decisions regardless of our differences. Frankly, I was nervous about how we'd work together, as some of the committee members and I had been on different sides of some church conflicts, and I wasn't ready to trust. As the work got harder, we had some confrontations in our meetings that didn't go well. And that was before we had even talked to a single minister. But we didn't give up. It wasn't always pretty, but we kept working together. Jennifer pushed us to stay in connection. We never ended a meeting without the warmth of community, even if we were faking it just a little sometimes. through our work, we saw the effort that each person put in, and we built respect. Through our personal tragedies, we saw each other's humanity, and we built love. As we started to interview ministers, something started to shift. We started to look outwards instead of inwards. And because of all our preparation that all of you were essential to completing, we started to work the way we were supposed to. Our visions started to gel, and our conversations focused on the ways the prospective ministers would or would not fit the congregation. We were finally building trust. I was finally coming to trust. I felt my differences with other members just falling away. Not because we talked it out, but because our old differences were no longer relevant. They became ancient history with no power over me. It was about then that Maria Cristina appeared in our lives. It was like we had cleared all the channels and were finally open to connecting with the minister we all needed. Now, I'm one of those you use who believes in miracles and meant-to-bes. I think we did the work we needed to do to align with each other, and when we were all ready, the miracle happened. And here we are today, at last.
Thank you, Heidi.
Now, when I was first asked to join the search committee, I had never been on a search committee before, but I had been part of a board that actually helped select a search committee, so I was well aware of the time commitment it would require. But I was honored to be asked that when Frank called me to join that. So I just thought it overnight, looked at my work schedule, and said, sure, I'll join. Then later on, I found out there were going to be me and 7 other women on the search committee. I thought maybe I should have asked a few more questions first. But my typical search committee would be 7, so even just having the extra person makes it that much harder to schedule meetings. So somehow we were able to have a meeting shortly thereafter, some Thursday night, and we were looking at our calendars to plan a retreat, which is part of the process. And everyone had their calendars. How about this weekend here? No, Boy Scout, Cub Scout, camping, hiking, vacation, week. We had turned into months. It was several months before we could even find a weekend when we could all meet. But that, it turned out that retreat was a very good part in forming a core nucleus for us, getting to know each other's personalities. We did personality profiles, and that really did help draw us closer. And I have to thank Bob Meese, who was the coordinator for that. So then, after I accepted the position, I changed jobs, actually started to work for a startup, which was a much longer time commitment, a much longer commute. So these evening meetings, even getting at 7 o'clock were difficult. A 6 o'clock meeting, I remember one time I left work at 4:45, and I have an electric car, I was driving the carpool lane, I was still a half hour late for our 6 o'clock meeting. But, somehow we managed through those, and we got to the point where we were selecting candidates. And we were fortunate enough to have 4 candidates interested in us, and we agreed to meet them. So 4 pre-candidating weekends, we call it. And for those of you that don't know, that involves a Friday night dinner, Saturday morning breakfast question, early afternoon, Sunday going to a neutral pulpit, meeting in the afternoon. I mean, almost the entire weekend shot for 4 candidates. And we had already selected everything to schedule, and then Rebecca decided to look one more time in this master list and found Maria Cristina was interested in us. So what do you think about this candidate? And, I mean, at that point, we were all pretty, I would almost say burned out, because we had 4. We thought we had enough. But Heidi took the initiative to reach out. Where's Heidi sitting? Took the initiative to reach out to her, and it turns out she was in Berkeley that very weekend when we were pre-candidating up in Marin County in San Rafael. And it turned out that she would be able to meet us that afternoon on our way back. And it was really hard for us to turn that down. I said later, if we had had to drive past Hayward and go south to meet her, it might not have happened. So even you youths can believe in fate. So fate it was. We met her. There was instant connection. We had some other candidates we met where we didn't really feel like we had the unanimity that we were looking for, and we were fearful or uncomfortable with having to argue with each other like a jury, pros and cons. But as it worked out, we were all unanimous with Reverend Maria Cristina, so that part it went very smoothly, and we were able to get her here. So just one more point I wanted to add was having the extra members on the committee, although it was more work, it did help. When you had some tragedies befall members of the search committee, which, as you may know, we were all, other people were able to step in and take up the slack. So in retrospect, I think it was a good decision to have those extra people on the committee. So, and this is the fruit of our labor. Thank you.
Thank you, Heidi, and thank you, Bob, and thank you to all the members of the search committee and their spouses and families and friends. Today is my last day as your ministerial candidate. My heart is filled with gratitude and hope. I have spent the past 9 days meeting with committees, with the staff, getting to know as many of you as possible, and looking for a home for my mother and I. I have met with the board, with the children and adult RE committees, the worship committee, the small group ministry, ARMCA, and many committees of one. I have tried hard to learn your names, to learn dates, and most of all, about your hopes, aspirations, what makes your heart sing, what struggles are you in the midst of. I have learned about your passion for music and theater, for environmental justice, for offering children a safe and joyful place to explore the meaning of friendship, belonging, and sharing. I have been amazed at your commitment to social justice and your involvement with a new interfaith initiative to counter hatred and racism. And I have been moved to tears with your experiences of losing a loved one, losing your health, living with chronic pain, struggling with depression, and sometimes even losing hope. I have been moved by your joy and enthusiasm. You have kept the light of this community shining bright through many years. If you ever doubted that your presence here matters, know that you are important. Know that your contribution matters and that this community needs you to continue to grow and thrive. If there is one thing that I wish you to take with you today, is that this congregation is a blessing. Here I have received unconditional love, compassion, and an opportunity to dream, and to dream big. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King envisioned a beloved community of love and justice. He said, "Our ultimate goal is genuine interpersonal living. Desegregation is not enough," he said. He insisted that mere desegregation leaves us with elbows together, but hearts apart. Building the beloved community means intentionally growing and transforming ourselves as a multiracial, multicultural, justice-making congregation. Did you know that out of 1,000 Unitarian Universalist congregations, only 5 are multiracial? Not 5%, 5 churches. Did you know that only 5 to 7% of religious organizations are multicultural, and only 50% are intentionally so? That means that the other 50% is circumstantial and that they will soon return to monoculture again. Did you know that I identify as a person of color despite my light skin? Did you know that I acknowledge my light skin privilege as I struggle to undo the racist notions that I carry within me? Calling a minister of color means there is work to do. We have work to do together in love and compassion. Our own work of preparation, conversation, and transformation, because UU ministers of color continue to struggle, many times lacking the support they need to fully develop our ministries. The average length of service of Unitarian Universalist clergy, general clergy, to any congregation is 7 years. But for UU ministers of color, it's less than 3. The Reverend Bill Sinkford says that in just a few decades, we have moved from a handful of women clergy in our pulpits to a majority. That's wonderful. I'm one of them. But for ministers of color, he says, we have moved from a handful to a handful. Today, we have an opportunity to change this. This is historical. You have an opportunity to become one of the few UU congregations to be led by an indigenous queer woman of color. That's me. That's me. And I am so ready to journey with you, to build with you the beloved community. Are you ready to journey with me? Yes. What's that? Yes. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. All right. Woo. Are you open and willing to struggle with me and to celebrate with me?
Yes.
All right. Hiring a minister of color will not automatically diversify this congregation. Is that news to you? I hope it's not news to you. Our learning and working together will. Having a minister who is an immigrant herself will not make our immigration justice efforts relevant and effective. Our work together with our community partners and national immigration rights organizations will. Having a minister who identifies as queer or lesbian will not make this a radically inclusive place. Our commitment, our common covenant to unconditional love will. As your minister, it would be my duty to dedicate myself and my ministry equally to social justice and the development of the programs that answer the needs and aspirations of this community, providing pastoral care, preaching on relevant themes, engaging in genuine and meaningful community partnerships, encouraging all of us to take care of ourselves, to take care of our bodies, our minds, our spirits, to help us see that wherever we are on our individual journeys, it is the right place. No judgment, no room for blame or shame. Whatever the contribution we offer in this moment to our community, even when we just barely can get ourselves here to participate in a Sunday worship, that is more than enough, and we must honor that. You have been in a journey of transformation already for the past couple of years, and you have been asked to articulate your values, your goals and aspirations, and you have responded, we want to grow, and we want to be more diverse. Amen?
Amen.
Diversity happens not by accident, but by decision. And you have made a decision, and you will again reaffirm that decision when you take a vote. Diversity includes leadership, both lay and ordained. People need to see themselves reflected in the faces of authority. Diversity is inclusive worship, embodying a variety of styles and traditions. Diversity includes intentional, humble, meaningful, and sustained outreach beyond these walls. Diversity is being open and willing to hold our ways of being up to the light of change. When we are intentional about building the beloved community and understanding diversity beyond statistics, we grow as a community. We thrive and we deepen and strengthen our passion for music, for a green sanctuary, for religious exploration, for small group ministries, for worship and social justice. It makes everything more authentic, more relevant, more life-giving and hope-filled and so powerful. We are preparing the way for a shared ministry to become our best selves. Multiculturalism engages the reality of racism within the congregation as well as the larger society. Multiculturalism means nurturing a religious community where people of all races, ethnicities, and cultures see their identities reflected and affirmed and celebrated, not just tolerated, in every aspect of congregational life. Multiculturalism means that one cultural identity does not dominate all others, that people are able to participate in their faith community without denying or hiding their cultural identities, that our role of cultural identity is part of pastoral and prophetic ministry, and that leaders, lay and ordained, have the competency to understand how our multiple identities intersect, how socialization influences our values, our attitudes, our beliefs, and our dreams. Our increasingly multicultural world requires that we prepare our communities of faith across all borders, that we start dismantling the borders, that we start blurring the differences and focus on our commonalities. Someone asked me yesterday, what is your plan for this congregation? I responded, I have no plan. There is no Reverend Maria Christina agenda. Not because I don't have good ideas or experience, but because I believe that the plan, the so-called agenda, must come from you. It must come from the people, and that is my job to see it through, affirm it, and together make it work and become a reality. We are on a shared journey, and soon this journey will become a reality. You've already started shedding light upon this new journey. Together, I hope we will continue to let our light shine bright. Amen?
Amen.
Now go vote. I invite you to stand as you're willing and able and join hands for the benediction. Reach across the aisle. Don't be afraid. We are friendly people. If we have any hope of transforming the world and changing ourselves, we must be bold enough to step into our discomfort, brave enough to be clumsy there, loving enough to forgive ourselves and others. May we, as people of faith, be granted the strength to be so bold, so brave, and so loving. May you go in peace and return in love. Amen.
Are we going to vote to call our candidate, Reverend Maria Christina Velicitas? Bergoa. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
We should raise our hands so we have a count.
Well, we don't have to do that, I hope. Anyone opposed? Anyone abstaining? That sounds unanimous to me. Well, we're waiting just a minute for our new minister to come and accept our call.
Yeah, right, Chelsea. Yes, right.
Will you be our called minister?
Si.
Yes! Yes. This meeting is adjourned.